Open your Bibles now to one of the most well-known portions of Scripture, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And we're gathered together here at Water of Life in the homes of one of our members today, and this happens to be December 31st, the last day of the year. And we haven't been able to gather together for a while because of sickness and bad weather. It seems like everything has kind of hit this last month, but we're here today, and we're going to kind of have a celebration of Christmas and a looking forward into the new year today in a rather informal way. And for those of you who are following us along by tape, why, we'd like you to open your Bibles also to Luke chapter 2. We're going to begin by reading the famous account of the birth of Jesus. I'm going to read from the King James Version, and we'll have a few thoughts on it. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of Bethlehem, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." Tonight is New Year's Eve, and there are going to be a lot of parties around Beaver Dam and all over the country. And you're going to have people who are coming to these different parties, and they're going to gather together, and they're going to do that to have a good time and celebrate the end of the old year and the beginning of a new year. Now, there are a lot of times that people gather together. Next Tuesday, for example, some of the children are going to be gathering together in a building called a school. And you're going to be gathering together in grade 4 or grade 5 or grade 6. You're going to come together because school is starting again, and there are certain kids in your class, you'll all come together to be taught. There are many, many other reasons why people can come together. I found myself gathered together several months ago up at Stout when they had a freshman orientation. Ryan was going to school up there, and we took him up there. And while the students were signing up for classes, they had a big meeting of the parents. So we were gathered together for that reason. Sometimes you're gathered together without even planning it. Last week, we found ourselves gathered together out on an expressway when there happened to be an accident when you're driving over to Michigan to pick up Dan. And there was an accident out there, and the traffic was all blocked up, and a helicopter came and landed on the expressway, and a bunch of us were gathered together on the expressway, stopped, This is something that we hadn't planned. So there's a lot of different ways that people can be gathered together or gather together, and a lot of reasons for it. But we'd like to look this morning at a kind of an odd gathering. We're going to look at a gathering that took place by a manger out in the stable. And as we look at the scene, it's described for us in Luke chapter 2, it's kind of surprising. There probably were animals there, although the Bible doesn't really say that, but you'd expect there to be animals in this kind of a situation. And if you look around, you see some sheep there, and maybe some donkeys, and maybe some oxen. That's exactly what you'd expect. But there were other people there that you wouldn't expect. For example, there was a little baby that was laid in a manger, and there was a father and a mother, husband and wife. Mother was the mother of the child. The husband was not the father, because it's kind of a special birth here. The father was God, and Joseph was only the foster father, but they were out there in the manger, and also there's a bunch of shepherds. And it seems to be a very odd place for a group of people to be gathered together out in a manger. Why were they there? Why were Joseph and Mary and Jesus out in the stable? And why was the baby placed in the manger? Well, there's different answers for that. One of the answers the Bible tells us here is that they were out there because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, that's in verse 7. Joseph and Mary would not have been out in the manger, in the stable there by the manger, if there had been room in the inn. They'd been back in the inn. So this was something they really couldn't control. And because there was no room in the inn where normally they would have liked to have stayed, they had to go somewhere else. And the only place they could find was a stable. Now, why do you think there wasn't any room for them in the inn? Something happened there that caused a big overflow in this little village of Bethlehem. And why were Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem? They didn't live in Bethlehem. They lived in Nazareth. How did it happen that at this particular time they were in Bethlehem? Well, there's a reason for that too. Chapter 2 begins with these words: "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." There was a king in Rome, a very powerful king. He was a heathen. His name was Caesar Augustus. And he decided that he wanted to have an enrollment for taxation, so he made a law. And people had to go to their home city to enroll for the taxation. And Joseph and Mary, who were living in Nazareth at the time, had to take a long, difficult journey down to Bethlehem because they were of the house and lineage of David. And because this king made this decree, that's why they had to go there. And so when they got there, there were hundreds of other people that were there too. They all came for the same reason. They gathered together because Caesar Augustus said that they better do that for the taxation. So there's different answers to the question, why did it happen? Why were Joseph and Mary out in that manger? Why were they there, out in the stable? Well, they were there because the king made that decree, so they had to go to Bethlehem. And then when they got there, there wasn't any room in the inn, so they had to go elsewhere, and the only place they found was a stable. We say that's why they were there, but that's not the real reason why they were there. Not really. They hadn't planned this. It was not a gathering they had planned. But if you had a concordance and you look up the word Bethlehem, you're going to find out there's a passage. I'd like you to look at that. It's in Micah, the prophet Micah. Micah is one of those hard ones to find, one of the last 12 books of the Old Testament. They call 12 minor prophets. They're called minor because the books are very, very short. And you know the book of Jonah, you know the story of Jonah and the big fish. Well, Micah comes right after that. Jonah, Micah. And if you look at Micah chapter 5, verse 2, there's a very remarkable prophecy there that was given hundreds of years before Luke wrote chapter 2. And the prophecy is this. It's in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, that's the Bethlehem where Jesus was born. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The prophecy here says that there's going to be a ruler that's going to come to Israel, and this ruler is going to be an eternal one. He was of old, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. This person is going to be the ruler in Israel, is one that has been in existence from eternity, before the foundation of the world. And that means he's got to be the Son of God. Because God was the only one that was in existence in eternity. God created everything. And this ruler is going to be from everlasting, so he's going to have to be the Son of God. And the prophecy said that even though there were thousands of cities in Judah, there was one little village that God had chosen where this ruler was going to be born, and that was in Bethlehem Ephratah. So, now, when Caesar Augustus made this decree that all the world should be taxed, I'm sure he didn't have the slightest idea that Micah had written back in chapter 5 of his little book that Jesus would be born. His king didn't know that. And I don't know if, I doubt whether if even Joseph and Mary were aware of that, because it wouldn't seem like they had any plans to go down to Bethlehem at this particular time. But Mary was pregnant, about to give birth to a child, and the child had been conceived by the Holy Ghost. And then this decree happened to come, and so they had to go down, Joseph and Mary had to go down to Bethlehem because of the decree, but it really wasn't because of the decree either. You've got to trace this thing back. There are many reasons why they were, but the main reason why they were there is because God had said that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. That's why they were there. So even though there were different means that God used, or different agencies that brought this all about, you can still trace it back to God. He's the reason why they were there. And then when they got there, and then there was no room because of the crowd, they moved out into the stable, and the baby was born out there. Right when God wanted it, at the fullness of time, when the fullness of time was come. Now, there were other people there, too. There were shepherds. You know what they were doing there? Because the shepherds, the night before that, they hadn't been in Bethlehem, out there in that stable. And a week before that, or a month before that, or a year before that, they hadn't been out there. And the shepherds were supposed to be out in their fields watching the flocks at night. And this one night when they were out there, all of a sudden they saw this light in heaven. And the angels came and told them, hey, the Savior's been born. You'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger back in Bethlehem. Now the shepherds were watching sheep out there. And in our home Bible study, we've been studying about some gates in the book of Nehemiah. When the walls had been torn down, they rebuilt those walls, and there were different gates in those walls. And one of them, where it started out, was the sheep gate. They named it the sheep gate. And the reason they called it the sheep gate was because it was close to the temple, and when the sheep were brought in from the fields, they were brought through that gate. And a lot of the sheep that were brought through that gate were brought through there for a specific purpose. The purpose was that they were going to be sacrificed at the temple. This had started way, way back in the Old Testament, where God had commanded that lambs should be sacrificed, pointing forward to the time when the Lamb of God would sacrifice himself. So these shepherds are out in the field at night, and they're watching over these flocks that are about to be sacrificed, and the angel comes and in effect says, hey, you know, the real Lamb of God now has been born. And instead of watching these flocks, now you go and find the real one. So they came, and that's why they were there. When the shepherds went out that night, they had no idea that they were going to go to Bethlehem and be standing out there in that stable. And when Joseph and Mary came to Bethlehem, they had no idea about that either. But God worked things so that they were together there. And the key point we're trying to make here is that God is the one who brought them together. They didn't do that. And that's what makes this different. Now, there's a lot of different gatherings that we've mentioned. There'll be a lot of parties tonight. People are going to gather together themselves. They're going to be with friends. They're going to do it. They're going to gather together. But there's a difference between gathering together and being gathered together. If you're gathering together, you decide that. If you're being gathered together, somebody else decides that. And that's the way it was on the first Christmas. They were gathered together. And remember what Jesus said one time? Matthew chapter 18, he said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. That's what he said. He didn't say where two or three gather together. It's where two or three are gathered together. And this really tells us something about the real church, doesn't it? The real church is gathered together by God. This is not something that man decides to do. It's something that God decides. And Jesus one time said, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. So that's God doing this. It's God drawing us. You didn't become a Christian because you decided that you were going to believe in Jesus. It didn't happen that way at all. Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And this is very comforting, isn't it? Now, tonight's going to be New Year's Eve. It's one of my favorite times of the year because on New Year's Eve, you kind of look back over the past things that have happened during the year. And we like to, at our house, we kind of like to look at the different blessings that God has given us and go around. And each one mentions something we've been especially thankful for that God has given us during the past year. But then after that, you know, also look into the future, you know, what's going to happen in 1996? And, you know, the Bible tells us, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And we don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone what's going to happen in 1996. And to try and look ahead a whole year, none of us can really do that. And some people get a little scared about that. You know, when you look into the future, you don't know what's going to happen. It's kind of uncertain. But a child of God is not afraid of this because, you know, we'll be gathered together in different places, I'm sure, during the next year, too. Each of us in different places, probably where we didn't think we would be. But you can trace all of that back to God. And that's what you do in Luke chapter 2. I mean, there were different reasons why Joseph and Mary, they were going to say, well, this was because there wasn't room for them in the inn. Well, it's true. That's one of the reasons. Another reason is because of that decree by Caesar Augustus. That's true, but it's not the real reason. The real reason is God. He's the real reason. So wherever you go this next year, the real reason is going to be because that's where God is gathering you together. And somebody wrote a song one time. I don't even know who wrote it. I can't remember anymore. I don't know any of the words of it, except there's one little phrase in there I've never forgot. And the phrase is this: we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And that's the thing that makes the future exciting, isn't it? That the God who gave us the tremendous gift here in this manger and gathered these shepherds together with Joseph and Mary. And there were a lot of big, important church people that weren't even here. The scribes and Pharisees back in Jerusalem and the chief priests and the elders didn't have any idea what was happening. But God gathered together that little group that he wanted there. And why were they there? Because of the little baby, right? They were gathered together in his name. And this is exciting. Remember this promise of Jesus. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, are gathered together, where God brings two or three of you together in my name, I'm going to be right there in the midst of them. That's a precious promise. And that's the real joy of Christmas. Let's close this part of the service with the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll sing a few more Christmas carols. Just like to wish all of you here a very blessed Christmas and a blessed New Year, and also not only to you here, but to those of who are in our tape audience. We kind of consider them part of our congregation too. And you know, the tapes are going out to places in Michigan and Colorado and out to Washington and Minnesota. So we've got friends that are in these different places, and we wish that you could be with us and we could be with you. But since we can't be, why, we want you to know that we're thinking of you and wish you God's richest blessings during the coming year.